On the top of Daf Mem Amud Aleph, line number 4. Itmar. Chamin Shehuchmu Me'erev Shabbos. So we have machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel regarding the case of water that was heated on Erev Shabbos. So imagine in the scenario of the Anshei Tveria, if they would have drawn the hot water and then closed it in the valve, the valve would be shut going into Shabbos, so that any water that was heated up was only heated up on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. Or for example, a person has a barrel and he wants to take a bath. In those days they used to take a bath in a barrel, and he turns on the fire before Shabbos, the water is hot, and now he shuts off the fire. So all this water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. Because until now, we've been discussing the case of Anshei Tveria, where the water was heated up on Shabbos itself. And there the Mishnah says, Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. It's Asur B'Shtia, even for a partial bath of Pana of Yad V'Raglov, that's an all-inclusive Isur. It's an Isur Anah, it's an Isur Chefta, whatever you want to call it. But now we're talking about the case of water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, on both sides. It's raining. Our prayers have been answered. There's still hope. Okay. The same Talamot Levroch. So Rav Omar, Rav is going to stretch this case a little bit. He's going to say, okay, rechitza is asur, and on many cases we've discussed and defined rechitza as being kol gufa, where he jumps into the water, kol gufa. And Rav says the following, lemachar, in this case of water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, rochitz bahem es, rochitz bahem kol gufo, aver aver.
What is that?
Now, what does that mean, Aver, Aver? There are two ways of learning this, Aver, Aver. One way is to say that Aver, Aver means that he puts in one Aver at a time. One member of his body at a time. So he never actually dunks his entire head and his entire body into the water. He never submerges himself. Therefore, in this case, it's considered, according to Rav, like Panav Yadav Raglov, but the Chiddush of Rav is that ultimately his entire body is bathed in the hot water. Just that he doesn't do it in one fell swoop, but rather he does it piecemeal. So if he washes himself in the hot water, bathes himself piecemeal, one aver at a time, then that's okay. I would presume that, for example, showering the way we know it today, that would be okay. So you can heat up water on Erev Shabbos, close the valve, and then on Shabbos itself, the water still remains hot. You're allowed to put every part of your body into the water, but piecemeal, meaning not in one fell swoop. The other way of interpreting Rav, and that's going to come a little bit later on in the Gemara, is that Rav means you're allowed to actually submerge yourself in the water, bathe, as long as you leave out one aver. You have to leave one member of your body outside. So if you leave the arm outside and every other part of your body is inside the bath, that's okay. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel disagrees. Lo hitiru lirchotz ela panav yadav raglav. There are three parts of the body which they allowed to be bathed with this hot water. That's the face, the hands, and the legs. And nothing else beyond that was mutter. So for example, according to Shmuel, if you want to wash or bathe in hot water your chest, you would not be allowed to do that because it's not panav yadav raglav. So that's the Isur Rechitza according to Shmuel that is all inclusive with the exception of panav yadav viraglav. So Rabosai, in this machlokas, who's the machmir and who's the mekil? Shmuel is the machmir because he doesn't allow anything other than panav yadav raglav, only these three parts of the body. Rav will allow you in effect to wash and bathe in hot water your entire body, but not at one time. You have to do it aver aver, one aver at a time. Meisvei. Now the Gemara is going to ask a whole slew of questions from a variety of brises against Rav to disprove the sheet of Rav. One brise is Chav and Shuch Muvier of Shabbos. The water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. L'mocha Roch Expand part of Yod V'Ragva Lo Kol Gufo. In other words, the brisa stipulates, restricts, you're not allowed to bathe your entire body. You're only allowed to put in these three parts of your body. Panav, yad, v'ragel. Tiuvta, derav. This is a contradiction to Rav. Amal Harav. Rav says, no, that's not how you interpret this brisa. But rather what the brisa means to say is, lo kol gufo bevas achas. When the brisa says that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water your entire body, it means at one time. Ela aver aver. But the brisa will allow you to bathe your entire body as long as you do it piece at a time. You do your leg first, your other leg, your arm, your chest, and so forth and so on. The pella here in Rav's interpretation is very difficult because the brisa says, Rochets ben panav yadav v'raglav. Why would the brisa confuse us by singling out panav yadav v'raglav? According to Rav, there's no special status to panav yadav v'raglav. You're allowed to wash your entire body, any part of your body, as long as it's not kol gufo bevasachas. So that's where the Gemara is going to raise that objection. Panav yadav v'raglav ketani. In the brisa it says that you're only allowed to bathe and wash your face, your legs, and your hands. So the Gemara answers, again, this is Rav sort of backpedaling, Ke'ein panav yada v'ragla. Now, just like when you wash your hands or your face or your legs, you do it one aver at a time, right? First you wash your face, then you wash your hands, whatever the say the verb is. So too, if you wash your entire body in hot water, that's okay as long as you do it in stages. So panav yada v'ragla was never meant to single out these specific parts of the body, but rather tzuras, Harachitza, the way that you do the rechitza, just like you do rechitza in Panav Yad V'Raglav, piecemeal, one at a time, called Echad Bifnei Atzmo. So too, you can wash your entire body, called Echad Bifnei Atzmo. Ever.
Vice versa. Is this normal? Because the machloket that happened a minute before, that was Shmuel's whole shita against Rav. So is he saying, I really kind of agreed with Shmuel, but Shmuel didn't know what he was saying, or he's just stuck here so badly that they let him say something that's not all that powerful over him?
Well, again, the point of the Gemara is that Rav disagrees with Shmuel, and Rav is forced to reinterpret this brisa in a way that it could be reconciled with his shita. So even though that's not the simple, understanding, straightforward reading of the brisa, Shmuel takes the brisa literally, that on Shabbos you're only allowed to wash your part of Yad V'Ragla, not more. Rav says, no, ke'ein part of Yad V'Ragla. Part of Yad V'Ragla is just a mashal, it's a metaphor, it's a simile for washing your body, parts, segments, aver, aver. Toshma, another brisa. The brisa again is going to contradict Rav. Lo hitiru lirchotz b'Shabbos bechamin shehuch mumer of Shabbos el upon of yod of raglo. I mean, that's pretty explicit. The brisa says that the only thing they permitted you to do with hot water on Shabbos is part of yod of raglo. Nothing more will do. According to you, Rav, that's not true because you're allowed to wash your entire body, any aver in your body, as long as you do it aver aver. So the Gemara says again, Rav is kind of, you know, is back against the wall. He's going to have to somehow reinterpret this brisa and reconcile with the brisa Ochanami Ke'ein Panav Yadav V'Raglav. It doesn't mean to exclude other parts of the body, but rather it means to exclude a bathing that's normal. We're not going to allow normal bathing on Shabbos in hot water. And now the brisa, the third brisa is being quoted. Tanya Kavasi, the Shmuel, we have a third brisa to support Shmuel. Chamin shehuch mumeir of Shabbos lemacha rochik ben panav yad v'raglav have a low call gufo. This brisa is explicitly in support of Shmuel's position that the only heter for hot water is only part of yad v'raglav, but not call gufo. And the brisa continues by saying aver aver, even if you're doing it one aver at a time. That's it. At this point, the Gemara drops the case. And this is certainly an absolute explicit support for Shmuel against Rav. Let's just read the... Ben, I'll be with you in a second. Just want to read the end of the Brisa. The Brisa says, V'ein tzarech lomar chamin shehuchmu b'yontif. Now keep in mind, until now the Brisa was talking about huchmu b'erev Shabbos. Now we're introducing in the Sefer of the Brisa yontif, but not erev yontif. Please note that. because it says v'yein tzarech lomer chamed sheuchmu b'yontif, on yontif itself. Ben, go ahead.
When the Rav uses the word reinterpret a brisa, is that another way of saying there's a new kimta, that when the brisa said X, it really means Y? It's a new kimta. What kind of?
The word ukimta is usually left for what we call a restrictive phenomenon, meaning a scenario in which we restrict the statement in the Mishnah of the Braisa to this following scenario. You know, that's called the Ukimta. Here we're not restricting anything at all. What we're doing is we're trying to figure out what did the Braisa mean by Panav Yad Viragla. Shmuel said it means literally Panav Yad Viragla, that's it. And the Braisa goes ahead and says that's what you're allowed to do with this hot water on Shabbos. But Rav says Panav Yad Viragla is only a mashal to teach us that as long as you're putting in parts of your body one at a time, then it's okay. So I wouldn't use the word ukimta technically, but now let's go back to Yontif. The man is heating up water on Yontif. Are you allowed to heat up water on Yontif? So let's just review what we already know. Beit Shammai hold that you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontif, and that's it. Beit Hillel say you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontif for the purpose of bathing, normal bathing. Less than normal bathing is permitted. So I can heat up water on Yontif as long as I'm not bathing my entire body. I can do Panav, Yadav, Viraglav. Now, I want to call one phrase to your attention. The phrase is V'ein Tzarech Lomar. Please underline those three words. That's what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes. The words Ein Tzarech Lomar, we translate it to English as it goes without saying. When you say it goes without saying, meaning, and how much more so, or certainly, it's like a Kal V'chomer. Now, usually, when we talk about prohibitions, which is more chamor, Shabbos or Yontif? Shabbos. So if I tell you something's also on Shabbos, you have no right to say, and how much more so on Yontif? On the contrary, if I tell you something's also on Yontif, then I can go the other way around and say, how much more so it's also on Shabbos. But here, v'yein tzarech lomar b'yontif. That doesn't make any sense. So the answer to this question is the following. That as I pointed out to you before, when we were talking about Shabbos, when was the water heated up? On Erev Shabbos. Now we're talking about Yontif, we're talking about the water was heated up on Yontif. If in Shabbos we're talking about a Gzera and not a Doraisa, we're talking about a Gzera that the Rabbanan said you can't bathe in hot water on Shabbos, and yet bathing includes any case of bathing beyond Panav Yad Viraglav, meaning any member of the body with the exception of these three is already considered bathing and it's prohibited by the Gzeres Chachamim of Chamin Shehuchmu B'Erev Shabbos. When we get to Yontif, we're talking about something much more chum, because he's turning on the fire when? On Yontif itself. On Yontif, we're not allowed to heat up water for bathing, even according to Beis Hillel. And therefore, what we're left with is to try to figure out what would be permissible. That would only be something that's not bathing. We've already seen in Shabbos and the Gzeir Drabbanon that what's the opposite, so to speak, of bathing? What's the exclusion? That's Panav Yadav Viraglav. Again, because this price is explicitly like Shmuel. If that be the case in Yontif, when we're dealing with the Doraisa, then how much more so, the only heter, the only permission that you'll have is to be lenient with regard to Panav Yad Viraglav. But to heat up water on Yontif for the purpose of Rechitza, that's prohibited. Presumably, Rav, although again, right now Rav is down and out, you know, he's really been slugged up. Rav himself would insist that on Yontif, you're allowed to heat up water for purposes of washing your entire body. When I say washing your entire body, I don't mean to submerge your body into hot water in a bath, in a classical bath, but a ver-aver, in which every part of your body, single-handedly, piecemeal, will be washed with the hot water, and Rav would permit that. And the truth is that the logic here is really with Rav, because we want to change the nature of this rechitza. We want to do something that's not the normal, classical rechitza. And if a person puts a leg in first, and then another leg, and an arm, and an arm, and he does Aver Aver, and he does one body at a time. You have to admit that that's something unusual. That's not something that you would call a classical kind of rechitza. That's not how you normally do rechitza. So Rav is really right in one sense, that if on Yontif you're doing a rechitza that's not a rechitza, meaning it's not the normal rechitza, it should be mutter. Because we just have to change the nature of the rechitza, make sure you're not doing a classical rechitza. But we paskin like Shmuel. The Braisa supports Shmuel. What's the logic of Shmuel? The logic of Shmuel is that bathing is considered something that's not necessary. What do I mean by not necessary? We all have to bathe, but we don't have to bathe on a daily basis. The mefunakim, you know, those who are very sensitive, you're familiar with the word istinus. I don't know how to translate that into English. It's actually a Greek word. Someone who's a feinschmecker, we call it in Yiddish. You know, he can't tolerate, you know, any sort of deviation, you know, any dirt, any a speck of dust bothers him. You've met people like that, you know, the psychiatrists deal with them on a daily basis. Anyway, the mefunakim have to wash their body all the time. You'll watch them, they're always near water, you know, they're always they're always washing themselves. So for a mefunakim, you know, bathing is something that's absolutely necessary on a regular basis. That's an instance. But for your average person to go over Yontif to how shall I say, survive Yontif without a bath, as we say in Yiddish, nishkefel, you can survive it. You know, no tragedy, no catastrophe will happen. Eating, on the other hand, is something that's considered basic. You know, that's normative for every single person on a daily basis, maybe even twice a day, maybe even three times a day. And I would add taking a hot tea into the equation here, because how can you go, you know, too long without a hot tea? And that you're allowed to do on Yontif. So you're allowed to heat up water for eating. I'm sorry, you're allowed to heat up food for eating, and you're allowed to heat up a glass of latte. That's okay. But now, heating up water for bathing, why do you need it? It's not so necessary. That's called eino shavel chol nefesh. It's not something that you're average. The Gemara has a whole discussion about mugmar. Oh, that I want to write on the boat. What's mugmar? This is a whole sugya to set the beitza. Mugmar is incense. How do you spell incense? No, this is not right. Is it? Anyway, I'm just guessing. I was never good at spelling bees. Incense is something that in the old days was very, very popular. What they used to do was they used to take incense, some sort of a chemical substance. They used to heat it up, and the odor would enter into the begadim, mamish penetrate into the clothes, into the food, into the plates that they ate from. It was a whole. This was a whole industry in the old days. So the Gemara wants to know, you're allowed to burn incense on Yontif. And the Gemara says that's also for mefunakim. Mefunakim means feinschmeckers. These are the people who want, you know, who want the best of the best, and they're always sensitive to smell. And, you know, these are the people who, if it smells a little badly, they'll run away from you. You know, they can't tolerate it. You know. So for mefunakim, that's not called shavel l'chol nefesh. The Torah says that on Yontif you're allowed to do ochel nefesh. You can do cooking for eating purposes, but only if it's shavel l'chol nefesh. To the extent to which, I think I may have mentioned this to you once in the past, who remembers, the Gemara vacillates back and forth. Are you allowed to shecht a tzvi on Yontif? Anybody know what that's called?
Deer.
A deer, what's called? The meat, what's it called?
Venison,
right. So the question is venison shavel l'chol nefesh? The Gemara goes back and forth. Who eats venison? It's a kosher animal, but who eats it? You know, there's La Marais in Manhattan. You know, you can get a good piece of venison, you know, for about $50 for a piece that's microscopic. That's what it was 10 years ago. Today it's probably twice that amount. But who can afford venison? So the Gemara says, no, everybody wants the venison, just no one can afford it. That's called shavel l'chol nefesh. But in incense, the Gemara says, that's not shavel l'chol nefesh. People could go, you know, even if they like incense, they could survive through Yontif without incense, nothing will happen. So bathing is considered eino shavel l'chol nefesh. It's not something that everybody needs to bathe on a daily basis, and they can't go through Yontif and survive without a bath. However, It was very standard practice on a daily basis for everybody, or almost everybody, but most people, to wash their hands in hot water, to wash their face in hot water, even to dip their feet in hot water. So those parts of the body that very often get dirty and have to be clean, that's not considered mifunakim, that's not mu'unagim, that's already shavu l'chol nefesh. Now he wants to wash every single part of his body. Says Shmuel, if he wants to wash every single part of his body, that's already mu'unagim. That already is the same as a guy who's got to take a bath. And if the only heter on yontif, which is shavu l'chol nefesh, is to turn on the hot water, to turn on the fire for heating up the water, for panav yadav v'rado. So panav yadav v'rado is considered shavu l'chol nefesh. Anything beyond that is not shavu l'chol nefesh, says Shmuel, and therefore you're involved in a suffik isur d'oraisa here, because Rav is going to tell you you're allowed as long as you do it in a change and unusual way. Who bathes themselves piecemeal, one member of the body at a time? That's enough for Rav. Shmuel's going to object because it's Eino Shavu L'chol Nefesh, and therefore you're dealing with an Issur D'Oraisa. So getting back to the three words that I wanted you to underline, V'ein Tzarech Lomar, which means that if we're going to be Machmir in this Braisa on Shabbos with regard to a Gzera D'Rabbanan of water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, and we're going to define the Heter as limited to Panav Yontif Radlov, how much more so on Yontif, where we're dealing with turning on a fire on Yontif itself, which could only be Mutter if it's Shavu L'chol Nefesh, we certainly have to be Machmir and limit the Heter to Panav Yontif Radlov. That's what we have so far. Rabba Masnile Lahosh Maitita Derav Behai Lishna. Rava has a slightly different girsa in Rav. Chamed Shuchu b'Erev Shabbos l'mochav Rav rochets b'hem kol gufo u'mishayer aver echad. Wow, Rav went even further. He permitted you to bathe your entire body.
Except for one
member. Exactly. Leave out one member. You know, as I said before, this was the second interpretation. This Rav is that you leave out your arm, you leave out one Ava. Esvei, the Gemara says, Kalani Tufta. But all the Brises that we quoted, three different Brises, are against Rav because they all insist that you're only allowed to wash with this hot water your pun of Yadav Araglov Tufta. And the Gemara says, you're right. That remains an outstanding question.
But one was a Mishnah, the other
one was a Brisa. I don't remember the Mishnah. Did I miss a Mishnah here? I'm sorry.
Mashnile,
is that a Mishnah? No, Rabbah is talking. The Mashnile is a verb that's an active verb that's describing Rabbah's action.
Oh.
Rabba Asata Tavarzeh. Rabba is certainly an Amora. In fact, Rabba is even a second generation Amora. You know, Rav is a first generation Amora. That's why I always say, you ask a kasha from a Brice on Rav, I'm not sure if Rav has to fold up shop. And he looks at Ichlit Kabel, you know, he doesn't have to bend over, because the Brice is really just one generation before Rav. In fact, there is a Gemara that says Rav Tanahu Upolit, that Rav does have the status of a Tanahu. We're not exactly sure at what point historically the period of the Tanoim ended. You know, you can't, an Amora can't argue against the Mishnah. And therefore the assumption of Asugi is that Rav is an Amora, therefore he can't argue against the Brisa, because the Brisa is Tanoic literature. But Rav is on that borderline. You know, Rav Yochanan, for example, in the Yerushalmi, is considered like a Tana, because Rav Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, Tana who Polik, he could argue with the Mishnah. Rav is very questionable. Here the Gemara is assuming that Rav is an Amora, and therefore Tuvta, all these prices prove that the only heter rechitza in hot water is Panav Yodav Varaglav against Rav. Amali Rav Yosef Labaye. Rabba Kika Ovid Bishmaite de Rav. In other words, the Gemara wants to know the following. When Rabbah, who's the next generation, a Talmud of Rav, quotes Rav, is he telling you that that's what we do? Is he saying that that's la halacha? Amalei says, lo yadana. I really don't know. I can't tell you one way or the other. Did Rabbah actually permit washing your entire body as long as you leave out one aver with this mayim that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. And the Gemara says, "Mai tibay pshita d'lo avid." I don't even know why the discussion came to, you know, between Rav Yosef and Abai, and Abai didn't know the answer. Well, what were they thinking over here? Pshita d'lo avid. I'm absolutely clear that Rabbah did not accept this halacha, this leniency of Rav. The itosif. Because after all these prices contradict Rav. So the Gemara answers, Lo Shmiele. Rabbah himself never knew about these prices. He only knew what he heard from his Rebbe Rav. We have brought these prices, and we have concluded, based on these prices, Tuvta, we have a question against Rav. But Rav himself was unaware. So the Gemara says, Ilo Shaminale, if in fact Rava was not aware that Rav was contradicted, was rejected by all these prices, then I don't understand why Rav Yosef had a suffix about it. Vade of it. I'm going to prove to you that there's a clear-cut rule that Rava always follows Rav, unless there's some sort of contradiction against Rav. But again, you know, Rav is not aware of that contradiction. The Omer Abai makes a global statement called Mili Demar. Anything that has to do with Rav is called Mar. You know, keep in mind there are three generations here. There's Rav, then there's the generation of Rava, then there's the generation of Abaye. Abaye is a student of Rava, Rav is a student of Rav. Called Mili Demar Ovid Kirav. Anything that you see that Rabbah does, he does it because he accepts the tradition of Rav. He accepts the halacha like Rav. Bar Mihani Tlas, with only three exceptions. Our case is not one of these three exceptions. Now, one of them is a Chanukah halacha, so therefore we'll give the Yotze Zayin our chiv of learning Hilchas Chanukah. Okay, what are the three cases? Now, these cases have to do, at least two out of the three of the cases, have to do with what's called Bizui Mitzvah. I'll write that down on the board here. Bizui Mitzvah. Bizui Mitzvah means that if something is designated for a mitzvah, I'm not allowed to use it for my own purposes. That's like a humiliation to the mitzvah. For example, I'm not allowed to take a piece of schach on Sukkot, which is a heft of the mitzvah that's designated for the mitzvah schach of Sukkah, and use it as a toothpick for my personal purposes. That's called bizui mitzvah. But what happens if I want to take a mitzvah and use it for another mitzvah? For example, let's say I have tzitzis on one beged. Can I take off those tzitzis from one beged and place it, attach it to a second beged, a second garment? In a certain sense, I'm insulting the first mitzvah, but on the other hand, I'm doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. So maybe that's not considered bizui mitzvah. Again, lo minasu would be if it's already on the beged. I'm putting it on the beged for the first time. That's called tasa. That's not asui. But the question is, I'm stripping the first beged of its tzitzis. Is that a bizui mitzvah?
I have a talit like that, and I'm always thinking about this. Should I buy a new one? And because it's tchelet, it's expensive.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Move them.
Right. So that's how it's sugya. So
still living with the old.
Well, if you want, after we finish, we'll look it up in Shulchan Aruch and see if we can come to some conclusion. The Gemara is right now. It's just going to present two opinions on this issue, and how is it relevant to Chanukah? A person wants to know if he can use the Ner Chanukah to light his other Ner. You know, our meaning is we have a Shamash, a special Ner that only functions in order to be the agent to light the candles. But let's say he doesn't have a Shamash, and it's the second night of Chanukah. Or for example, Reuven and Shimon are both lighting Ner Chanukah. Ner is Rubeso, but Mitzvah Kolecha, the Mahajan Kolecha Vecha. So each one wants to light a Ner Chanukah. Can I use one Ner Chanukah to light the other? To take an Ner Chanukah and use it in order to, you know, look for my safety pin that I dropped on the floor that I can't do. That's already bizui mitzvah. I'm using it for personal purposes. But here I'm using it for the purpose of a mitzvah. So the Gemara says the following. Matilin mi beged le beged. Okay, there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Are you allowed to take tzitzis from one beged and put it on another beged? Rav says you're not allowed to do that. That's called Bizui Mitzvah. And Shmuel says, no, you're doing it for the sake of another mitzvah, and therefore it's mut. So in this case, Rav is the Machmir, and Rabbah, who's a student of Rav, accepts the sheet of Shmuel. This is one of the three exceptions where Rabbah is going to rely on Shmuel Lekula, allowing you to take tzitzis from one begad and put it on the other. Number two, Madlikin Miner Liner. So again, there's a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. This is right here in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Chav Beis, the famous sugya of my Chanukah, you know, all the laws of Chanukah. And Rav is of the opinion that you're not allowed to take one candle and use it to light another candle. Shmuel says you're allowed to do it. And there's a very interesting Rashi, which is not here on our Daf, but rather on Daf Chav Beis in the sugya of Madlikim Miner Liner. And Rashi says, Shemadli kisem miner chanaka echad kidei lahadik mimenu ner chanaka acher. Rav says that Rashi says that Rav would allow you to take a candle and light another candle, but that's not the case. The machlok between Rav and Shmuel is if he takes a kisam, let's say we would call it a match, let's say, but I don't mean literally a match. You know, I mean the toothpick part of the match, you know, the wood part of the match, and he uses that to light up this kisem and then light up from one nair and using it to light another nair. Rav says that since there's a kisem in the middle and the kisem is not a mitzvah, it's not a nair chanukah, therefore you're not allowed to do it. Shmuel says, no, your ultimate goal, your purpose is to light a second nair. You're just using this kisem as an intermediary. Then it's mutter. That's not called bizui mitzvah.
Doing one candle to the next candle, the mitzvah is only the first candle, after that's only hiddur. So you're not really doing a mitzvah.
Well, there are different cases here. One case is hiddur, and the other case is where there are two people lighting. Now, two people lighting also might be hiddur, because the Gemara quotes a brisa, ner ishu beso, really the entire household could be yotzi with one. Yeah, but let's say, for example, if I'm not part of the household, then it could be that my nair, if I'm a guest, is not a heder mitzvah, but really the mitzvah itself. But for that, you really have to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham to figure that all out. Because there's something called an achsenoi, and if you're a guest, then mishtatef imo bepruta, then really he doesn't light his own candle. Our minhag that a guest in someone's house lights his own candle is very problematic. Very difficult to justify that. The Gemara itself is not in favor of that. The Gemara says that there's a bala bias, and any guest has to become part of the bias, and how does he do so? By chipping in a little bit. And he's yotze with the one I'd look for on behalf of the entire bias. Okay. Yeah, thank you. So the bottom line here is that Rav was Machmir and he didn't allow you to be Madlik Miner Liner. Rav is going to accept the sheet of Shmuel and he's going to permit it. And finally, the third exception is Halacha Kirabi Shima. Now, this is gigantic. A man is carrying benches from place to place. So really what he's interested in is called Greira. Greira means to relocate it, to drag it. But inadvertently, not deliberately, because he's doing it over ground, not like on our shayish, our floors, then what happens? He makes grooves. Yeah, no, what are they called in Hebrew? Do you remember that, Harvey? It's called charitzim. Okay?
Write it down. Okay. Charitzim. Okay. Simon Garfunkel wrote a whole song about these charitzim. It's called Feeling Groovy. Just kidding. Slow down, you move too fast. You gotta make the morning last. You remember that? Anybody who's old enough to appreciate Simon Garfunkel? Okay, right on. Okay. So charitzim means these grooves, right? And when you make these grooves, that's called Meleches Harisha, one of the 39. Why? Because now that you've made these grooves in the ground, all you have to do is put a seed in the ground in those grooves, and it's going to take
root and grow and flourish, and that's called Harisha. But he's not interested in making these grooves. He has no intention whatsoever of planting seeds in these grooves. And therefore he's only interested in relocating the bench. But it's very heavy, he can't carry it on his back, so he's dragging it on the floor. And here's where Rabbi Shimon has his principle called Davar She'eino Miskav, correct?
This is a pleasure. Don, telling you, thanking you with every additional minute here. Okay.
This is
Rabbi Shimon. Okay. And it's called the Davar She'eino Miskaven, and it's Mutter.
Now, who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, in the same exact case, says Asur. And Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Rava, who's again the next generation, he paskins like Rav Shimon. So this is one of the three exceptions in which Rava paskins against Rav. But our case here of taking a bath piecemeal, one aver at a time, aver according to Rav, is mutter. And the Gemara assumes that since this is not one of the three exceptions, therefore it falls into the general rule that Rava always accepts the sheet of Rav. And if that be the case, I don't know why the Gemara is vacillating back and forth as to whether Rava indeed, again, keep in mind he was unaware of the Tuvta from the Braisa. So therefore Rava, we can assume, certainly would have relied on his Rebbe Rav, as he always did, and he would have allowed this kind of quasi bath on Yontif, on Shabbos. So Gemara says no. You misunderstood the question here of Rav Yosef. You know what Rav Yosef was vacillating about. Kichumre derav ovid, kikule derav lo ovid. When this general rule, this principle, was formulated, that Rabba always accepted his Rebbe Rav, that means l'chumra. Whenever Rav is machmir, then he accepts the sheet of Rav, with three exceptions. Rav was machmir in Beged LeBeged, in Ner LeNer, in Dov Sheinim Eskavin, and here Rav went out on a limb and he said, no, we're going to be makil against our Rebbe. But when Rav is Makil, if he takes the lenient view, that's a whole different story. Then there are many pressing reasons why we're not going to accept the Shita of Rav. So therefore, going back to Rav Yosef's original question, since Rav was Makil, and he had a much greater scope, a larger scope of Heter to be lenient as far as bathing on Shabbos in hot water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, we don't know if we're going to accept the sheet of Rav, meaning if Rava accepts the sheet of Rav, because here Rav is the big Makil, and we're not going to accept the sheet of Rav because we know all the Tuftas and the Brises that reject. Tana Rabban. Now we're getting up to the sugya of Merchatzos. This is the real sugya that we've been discussing many times, but we never actually learned it. So now's a good time to learn it. There's no better time than now. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, Harvey, do you have the place?
Yeah.
You don't have the place. Okay, could somebody help Harvey find the place?
I don't understand this Gemara with page.
Ah, it's very good. Well, doesn't say Mem Amid Aleph. Okay, that's a good start.
If it's a Mem Aleph.
Mem Aleph is not good.
Mem Amid Aleph.
Mem Amid Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, Merchatz. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, Merchatz. Merchatz, these are the bathhouses that we've been mentioning. Shepakaku Nekovav Me'erev Shabbos. Okay, there's something called Nekovav, right? The heat coming up from the fire would go into the bath through Nekovim. In other words, there were openings on the bottom of the bath where the hot air from the fire is going to enter. Pakaku means they closed up these these holes, these valves. And when do they do so? On Erev Shabbos. So now the hot water that's in the bath is trapped in the bath, and no additional heating process is continuing during Shabbos itself. So again, when was this water heated up? On Erev Shabbos. Is there any active kind of heating process that's going on Shabbos? Absolutely not. So again, to take a bath in hot water on Shabbos, we've already decided that's awesome. That's a gzeirah that prohibits taking a bath in hot water on Shabbos, even though the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. However, Lemotzoi Shabbos, right after Shabbos is over, Rochets Bo Miyad. He doesn't have to wait even a minute. He goes into the bath. Why would anyone think otherwise? I mean, if Shabbos is over, there's no Iser of bathing after Shabbos. So what's the big chiddush here, this brisa, that Rochets Bo Miyad after Motzi Shabbos? And the answer is, there was some sort of a thought, a havamina, that perhaps we have to wait a little bit longer after Shabbos. What does that mean? How long of a time would we think perhaps you have to wait? Which the Brisa says, no, that's not true. The amount of time that would take to heat up the water. Let's say it takes a half hour to heat up the water. Wait that half hour. Because if you're not waiting that half hour, then basically you're benefiting from the process of heating that took place before Shabbos. And you're not supposed to be benefiting from that. Not on Shabbos and not even after Shabbos.
The fire kept going, right? Didn't put the fire out.
Right, but Pukaku Nekavav. So let's just see if there's still heat coming up over here. He says the following. Hayu Masikim, I'm just reading this footnote, if you could listen to...
Which footnote is that?
This number Chof Dalet. The second footnote on the page. Hayu Masikim Eitzim Mitachas Lemerchatz Kedei Lechamamo. So there was burning... You know, there's a campfire that's burning underneath the bath in order to heat the water. Ubekarka hamerchatz, and on the floor of the bath, right, the bottom part of the bath. Hayunikovim, there were openings, and darkom through these openings. Hayamerchatz mischamim. Okay, so we have it. We have the picture of it. In other words, I think he has a picture of it there, maybe. No, that's a different picture. Okay, so the picture is the following. He's got the bath. Underneath the bath, there's a campfire. There's coals that are burning. And the heat coming up from the fire is going to go through these openings in order to heat the water. Upakaku es lekovav b'erev Shabbos. Kidei shelo yischamem hamerchatz me'ha'esh b'Shabbos. It sounds like there's no heat coming up on Shabbos, which makes this Havamina even weaker, because...
Or is the fire just covered now? Is it like a grief of Ketumah? It's not that it's covered.
So you mean there's still heat that like penetrates even through the closed valves?
It's still warm, but it's not direct heat now. It's indirect.
Uh-huh.
The fire's got to keep going, otherwise most of the Shabbos would take a long time to get hot water.
But the fire is going.
Shlo yischamem amerchatz me'ha'esh b'Shabbos. That's his language. Shlo yischamem amerchatz me'ha'esh b'Shabbos. You have a footnote there in yours?
16.
What does he say, number 16? Don, you want to read it out loud for us?
Maybe it's not 16.
All right, may it make it 17.
I
couldn't care less.
Water. I think they directed the water, not the fire.
Well, let's see what he says here. Maybe
that's why it wasn't.
Don, can you read just a drop louder? Because
apparently, if the vents were closed before Shabbat.
Okay, vents. Good. That's a good word. Vents. I call them valves. He calls them vents.
The bathhouses were not heated further on Shabbat.
They were not heated further. So he says exactly the same thing that we said here. She'eno mischamem. Shabbos.
The fire is there, but the heat is not penetrating out into the water. It's blocked somehow.
Okay, so but no. The bottom line is the water is the water being heated up or not? No, it's not being heated up.
I don't understand conceptually how it works. So the water presumably is in what, vats or in?
Well, I think it's in the ground itself, the Roman baths.
Yeah, so if you have vents open up, why doesn't the water go down? So that's why I can't...
Ah, that's a good question. Why doesn't the water fall through the vents?
Yeah, I can't picture...
I guess...
If you go to these archaeological digs, they show you how the thing... I'm not going to tell you how it works, but it explains this.
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
There's different level levels of the floor.
It's a method of separating the water and having the fire going near it.
There's a solid floor that you're walking on, and there's pillars underneath that.
Yeah,
you know, it's the fire's under the archaeological digs.
But so they had to keep the fire going during Shabbos.
Sterno. Well, what?
Sterno.
I don't know. These are in jokes. All right, so let's see if we can make some progress here. Okay. So again, had there been some sort of a violation of Shabbos, then we would have to wait till after Shabbos, amount of time it would take to replace that violation of the Shabbos. But here, there was no violation of the Shabbos because there's no heat that's warming up the water on Shabbos. And therefore, immediately after Shabbos ends, the bell rings, now you made Avdolah, you can jump into the hot water, there's no Issur Rechitza, it's after Shabbos. Pakaku Nekov of Meir of Yontif. In the case where he has this bathhouse on Erev Yontif, and once again he plugs up the vents, he closes the vents on Erev Yontif, is Lamachar Nichnas Umezia. So now this is a big kula because we're talking on Yontif itself. Until now we've been talking about Shabbos and you have to wait till Motzi Shabbos to jump into the bath. Now we're allowing you to use this hot water on Yontif itself, but only in the condition that he is Mezia. He uses it as a sauna, what we call a Schwitzbad, but lo lirchot. So he's not allowed to wash in the hot water. In other words, the same gzera that prohibits you from bathing in hot water on Shabbos prohibits you on Yontif itself, except on Yontif itself, we discussed earlier, it might have been a doraisa, except for the fact that here he closed the vents on Erev Yontif. So there's no process of heating on Yontif. There's only a gzera of Mayim Shehuchmu B'Erev Yontif, and Chamin Shehuchmu B'Erev Yontif is an Isur Achitza. But despite the Isur Achitza, you can enjoy the benefit of this hot water as a sauna. That's called Mezia, Schwitzen. Now, on Shabbos, we're not going to allow using hot water even for the purpose of Schwitzen. So imagine you have this hot water and the hot vapors are rising from the hot water. And on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go in there to sweat. No sweat. No sweat on Shabbos, okay? No sweating on Shabbos. On Yontif, you're allowed to use it for as a Schwitzbad. Okay, the Gemara is going to analyze why these dinim change from Shabbos to Yontif. And then it says, V'yotze. Now, when he walks out, he comes out of the Schwitzbad, so he's all fashvitzed, so what does he want to do? He wants to pour water on his body. Bebeis hachitzon. That's called yotzei u'mishtatev bebeis hachitzon. And for some reason, he's not allowed to do this process of pouring water over his body in the merchatz itself. He's got to go out to the beis hachitzon. Apparently, if he would do this inside, people wouldn't realize that he was doing schwitzing. They may think that he actually went into the bath. I don't know. We have to figure out exactly why. And now the Gemara tells us about Bnei Brak. We always like to hear stories about Bnei Brak. Amar Rebbe. This is all part of the Brice. We have one Girsa that says Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Maisa, there was a story of a merchat shel Bnei Brak. Shepakaku nekavav me'erev yantif. So they closed the vents on Erev Yontif. L'machar nichnas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva v'Iziubo v'yatzu v'nishtafu b'beis hachitzon. So far this story doesn't seem to add any chidushim. It's just a story that implements the psak, the the ruling that we had in the beginning of this price. But then it says the following. Ella Shechamin Shalo Mechupim Binisarim. That this leniency in which you're allowed to use the hot water on Yontif as a Shvitzbad, and then afterwards walk out of the Merchatz, come out into the Beis Achitzon and rinse your entire body, that only applies in a case of a specific type or category of a Merchatz, of a bath. And that is Chamin Shalo Mechupim Binisarim. Okay. Now we get into the architecture here. So what is Chamin Shalo Mechupim? Now the word Mechupim means Mechusim, covered. Binisarim, Nisarim are planks of wood. Like for example in Sukkah, we put on Schach on the top of our Sukkah, but not Nisarim. And then the Gemara goes into detail what size, minimum size, constitutes a neser, which you're not allowed to put on top of your sukkah. So the nesarim are planks of wood, and what he needs to do is he needs to cover these vents with nesarim as he enters into Yontif. Why is that so? So he says the following, I'm just going to read this to you. He says, Mishum kach lo yitzrichim lachshosh shema hamayim sheshtatfu behem hischamemu biyontif michutz michom hamayim shebemerchatz.
Is the Rav reading one of the footnotes, or is that a...
No, just I'm reading the text of his translation here. I didn't even get to the footnote yet. I'm just, you know, the footnote is an embellishment. I just want to get to the simple pshat. Let's see. Let's read the Rashi. Rashi says... Let's go back to the Rashi before this. Okay, so we're about 15 lines up from the bottom of the page in Rashi. V'lo b'tocha merchatz. Why? I asked you the question before. Why is it that he's not allowed to wash his body off inside the bath? Inside the bathhouse, I should say. Shelo yomru rochetzu. Because if he does this process inside, people think that he took a bath. Kidamoran di asru es harachitza. So it's unbelievable. Number one, the Rabbanan instituted Xavier that you're not allowed to bathe. And number two, right, because again the water was heated up on Erev Yontif. And number two, anything that might look like that somebody might suspect you of bathing, that's also prohibited. You hear how far we're going over here. So if you wash your body off through this sheet of Vimayim inside the Beis HaMerchatz, when you walk out of the Beis HaMerchatz, oh, this guy took a bath. So what if he took a bath? That's not tragic. But if he took a bath and he violated the Isur Drabanan of bathing in hot water on Yontif when the hot water was heated up on Erev Yontif. That's how far we're going. Aval Zeya Hitiru. But Zeya is not called Rechitza, and that's okay. Vehechi Zeya. Omeid O Yoshev Bebeis HaMerchatz. V'einen Osein Mayim Olavu Mischamem Umeziya. Again, I don't know why Rashi has to give us a whole lesson in how to schwitz in a schwitzbad. Mechupim Binisarim V'lo Yitzrichim Lochush Shemen Ischamemu B'Shabbos Michomo Shel Merchatz. Just wondering what this little yud is that I happen to have. Shemen Eschamemu. Yeah, he says it should be Biyontif. Rashi has B'Shabbos. So what's the chashash here? That Shema Nischamemu B'Shabbos Michomo Shel Merchatz. So again, Rabosai, this process when he finishes his schwitzing and he comes outside, and now he does shituf, in which he pours water from a utensil over his body. what kind of water is he using? Is he using cold water or hot water? I think he's using hot water. That's, I'm not sure. Let me just think for a second. V'yotzei u'mishtatev Lamed. I'm just seeing if he says anything here. Oh, Haran Pirish. This, if you want to look, Ben, is in footnote number Lamed on the top line on the left column, in the middle of Lamed. He says, Haran Pirish Shabraisa Midaberes B'mayim Shehuchmu B'erev Yontif. So the Ran apparently is learning, and again, I don't know, I'm not embarking in the pleasures of schwitzing, but it seems that according to the Ran at least, the water was heated up on Erev Yontif. So again, everything's heated up on Erev Yontif. The bath was heated up on Erev Yontif, and water in a kli was heated up on Erev Yontif. The water that's in the bath, he's going to use for the vapors, for the steam, in order to schwitz. Then he goes out of the Beis Achitzon, and he uses the water that was heated in a kli, lishtatev kol gufo, in order to pour it over his body. Now, we said before that the only heter of bathing on Yontif is Panav Yadav Raglav. And now he's doing Shitav called Gufo. Now again, Shitav called Gufo would be a kind of Rechitza. So why are we allowing this in the Beis Achitzon? Rashi says that in the Merchatz itself we wouldn't allow it because then it looks like he was rochets, but here also he's being rochets.
You're further removed from the source. A person would think, oh, he must have done it somehow separate from that source of heat.
He didn't immerse himself in the second.
So again, are you allowed? That's what I want to know. Are you allowed? Let's go back again. The Ein Tzarech Lomar. Remember the Ein Tzarech Lomar? Ein Tzarech Lomar Chamin Shehuchmu B'yantiv. Okay, so let's talk about water that was heated up on Erev Yontif. Are you allowed to use that water for a chitzas called gufo? Ah, so the answer is that what? No, but that was the case where he heated up the water on Yontif. I'm talking about, again, our case here is Pakaku Nekarov Me'erev Yontif. So the water wasn't heated up on Yontif, but rather was heated up when? On Erev Yontif. So now I want to know, what is he allowed to do with water that was heated up on Erev Yontif? He certainly is not allowed to take a bath in it. Right? Let's just think. We're talking about what? We're talking about, so again, he's not allowed to jump into this water on Yontif, but he's allowed to use it as a schwitz bud. And now he walks out of the Beis HaMerchatz into the Beis Achitzon, and now he's taking this water that was heated up on Erev Yontif and he's pouring it over his body. And Rabbi Yehuda says that's only permissible if there was mechupim bin asarim. So Rashi says, what's mechupim bin asarim? The lo ayu tzrichim lochu shemen ischamimu b'shavis michomo shel merchatz. So somehow, by covering it over with these planks, it becomes absolutely clear that there was nothing that was heated up on Yontif, Nichomo Shel Merchatz. Oh, I got it. Oh, now I have it, I think. Why did the Chachamim say you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Yontif? After all, the water was heated on Erev Yontif. So we gave a whole shtickle Torah about Eino Shavu L'chol Nefesh, only Mefunakim, who takes a bath on Yontif, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. But he's not heating up the water on Yontif. The answer is that if we allow him to take a bath in hot water on Yontif, then he might come to heat up the water on Yontif itself. Or somebody might suspect him of heating up the water on Yontif. Now, when he does the shituf after Zeah, and he pours the water, if he's pouring the water that was heated up on Erev Yontif, then it might look like heated up the water on Yontif itself. And you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontif for the sake of shituf kol gufa. Right? So how does he make it crystal clear to the observer that this water was not heated up on Yontif? That's called mechupim b'nesarim. The process of chipui b'nesarim is going to guarantee that he didn't heat up this water on Yontif, but rather this water was heated up before Yontif. I guess because if it's chipui b'nesarim, then the heat of the water couldn't possibly last that long, and therefore it would have to be that he was not using the hot water from the bath. So let's see it again one more time. Yotzu v'nishtatvu b'beis achitzon ela shechamin shelo mechupim b'nisarim. What type of merchatz are we dealing with where the chipui b'nisarim was done, and therefore there's no one would suspect that the water was heated up on Yontif.
I don't understand why.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where these Nisarim are. Just one second, there's a footnote, Lamed. Hey, maybe that'll help me. Hainu. Shikpidu shamayim acham shebemerchatz yu mechupim b'nisarim. So how's he going to schwitz? I don't know. But anyway, he's telling me that the water itself was covered. You know, this is like a person who has a private pool in his backyard, and he's worried about the elements and so forth, so he covers over the pool, right, to maintain the... He's saying that here they would cover over the merchatz that was heated up on Erev Yontif, and that would retain the heat of the water in the merchatz. Kidei shelo yosifu chom Bechamin Shebebeis Hachitzon. Ah, one second. The reason why they were makpid that the hot water in the merchatz should be covered is Kidesh lo Yosifu Chom Bechamin Shebebeis Hachitzon. Because he's got hot water outside the merchatz, and he has to make sure that hot water is not heated up somehow by the hot water that's in the bath. I don't know how the hot water in the bath is going to heat up this water that he's using outside the Beis Hachitzon. That I can't figure out. But if we ever figure that out, then I'll understand that to remove that problem.
The fire is not under the water. The fire is off to the side. Hot air goes over the fire, and that hot air goes under the water in a subterranean basement, and the hot air heats up the water.
That's outside of the merchatz. I don't know. That's why.
What is covering it?
I don't understand. No, what is if the heat? If the heat is
the water. The fire's not under that floor.
I don't know how the hot water would heat up water that's outside of the Beis Hachitzon unless he covers it with the chapin. Mashu perish Rashi Shehem Shtatfu Bechamin Shehuchmu Be'erev Shabbos. Acheiru Shereb. Yeah, I'll be with you. Just I'm reading my footnote. Don't read your footnote. Acheiru Shereb Yehuda She'erem Isis Also Shtatif Bechamin. Okay, fine. That's a different question. That's a technical question here. Is tzorech sheyu hachamim mechupim b'nesarim kol ha'eis kidei shlo yomru sherochtzu bahem? So again, what we're afraid of is that people will suspect him of rechitza. Ah. So just one second. So this has nothing to do with shituf. Oh, let's go back to the Rashi one more time. Rashi says nischamemu. He has a different pshat here. And what's his pshat here? He says shatam shetzricha b'risa lifkok es nikvei hamerchatz hafshein rochetz klal b'chamin. Those are nine al azir. The reason for that, yeah, I'll be with you right a second, Don. So tam she tzricha b'raisa lifkok es nikvei hamerchatz. I was talking about chipuy b'nesarim. All of a sudden he's talking about lifkok es nikvei hamerchatz. Af she eino rochetz klal b'chamin. He's saying that the chashash here is that maybe he would tzarch she'yeh chamim chupim b'nesarim kolis kedei shlo yomru sherochatzu bahem. Because when he comes out, people are going to suspect him of having bathed in the hot water. But if he covers the hot water with nesarim,
that's not the bathing; it's the rinsing itself. Apparently there's a
prohibition. Oh, it's the rinsing or the bathing?
There's a prohibition against rinsing with hot water. Right?
He says, Kadesh le'yomu sherach tu behem. Okay, so I'm just saying that, you know, there are many different opinions on this issue, but his opinion here is Kadesh le'yomu sherach tu behem. Rechitza, meaning that he actually bathed in the hot water.
Right.
But okay, now let's see another
I'm just quoting Rabbi Ostroll.
This is a long footnote. Yeah, right. Good.
So he's saying that the Rabbi Elazar Azaria and Rabbi Kiva rinsed with hot water from the tub on Yom Tov. The implication is that they bathed with hot water on Yom Tov. However, this presents a difficulty since Rabbi Yehuda,
He doesn't allow rinsing with hot water. Right. That we had in the sugya 2 days ago. Right. But one second, just one.
By covering the water, then it takes away the implication that they use hot water. They rinsed in cold water. That's the conclusion.
In other words, what they could have done, it would seem, was to rinse their bodies off in hot water. And that, I guess, would be a problem. And how do we guarantee that they wouldn't rinse themselves off in the hot water? By covering the merchatz. But what I can't understand is, why do they have to go out to the Beis HaChitzon? Because if they do this process inside the merchatz,
maybe the water's outside that they use. It's cold water sitting outside in the pizza. But it doesn't explain where the cold water came from.
But yeah. So again, what does Rashi mean? That's I'm trying to figure out the words of Rashi here. Rashi says, "Umishtatef beis achitzon," and then mechapim in the sarv loytul shemen ischamu b'shabbes. Michomo shel merchatz. What do those five words mean? Shemen ischamu b'shabbes michomo shel merchatz. Ischamu b'shabbes. Or yontif. Okay, fine. Shon ischamu b'yontif michomo shel merchatz. Does that mean rechitza? What is he talking about? I don't know.
Are you reading Rashi?
Yeah, I'm trying to decipher Rashi. I find Rashi very ambiguous here, and the Masifta doesn't seem to help me that much at this point. I'll do some more research, and maybe by tomorrow I'll be a chacham. Let's just read another line or two, and then I really have to let you go. And he says the following: Ukshebo adavu lifnei chachamim amru afal pisha ein chamin shalom mechupim bin esarim. The chachamim were not so keen on accepting this chumrah, and they allowed in all cases for you to use the hot water on Yontif that was heated up on every Yontif as a shvitz, and then to go out into the Beis HaChitzon and rinse yourself off. U'misharabu ovrei avera, this is the punchline of the whole sugya, hischilu lesar ambatios. So once there were a lot of ovrei avera, we don't know exactly what these violators were doing. Were they turning on fire on Shabbos? I don't know. The Gemara is going to try to pick that up later on. Is then ischilu lesar ambatios shel krachim? These are the largest cities, and that includes apparently even Zeah. They closed down. They closed down all these bathhouses on Shabbos and Yontif. and nobody was allowed entry into the bathhouses. However, then the Braisa says, "Mitayel bahem, v'eino choshesh."
He can use them, but they're not.
Mitayel means I think he can use them as a pathway. You know, let's say he has to get to another place and he needs to cut through, and these batei merchatz were humongous, so instead of having to go all the way around, they would allow him to go through. But he's not allowed to benefit at all from the merchatz. Not in terms of a bath, for sure. Not even in terms of mezia. And all this is misharabu ovrei aver. So tomorrow, Blinena will pick up this chupim ben nesarim. Try to clarify that a little better. Maybe Don, I could ask you as a favor just to photocopy that one page with that footnote.
If this helps you, according to the footnote here, they say that Rashi actually interpreted it that they were doing it on Shabbos. The two rabbis were doing it on Shabbos.
Doing what on Shabbos?
They were steaming and wash rinsing on Shabbos.
Not Yom Tov.
Wow.
That's a radical.
Yes, it says.
That's the Hagos Siyunim says you should take out Shabbos and put in Yom Tov. But you're saying that those who read Rashi the way we have it printed,
says
and it was Arashi, on Yom Tov.
Now Rashi points out that Rashi himself indicates that this incident occurred on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, which is and the idea of it being on Yom Tov is in accordance with the variant versions of the Gemara text.
Right. Okay. Fine. All that we'll try to pick up and clarify tomorrow. But as we leave it today, our main job for tomorrow is to figure out what this means, Misharabu Ovrei Avera, and figure out what the different historical periods were, what Isurim were instituted at what time, and that's in Mitzvah Hashem what we want to do for tomorrow.
Should we take a quick vote about the Hanukkah or not Hanukkah?
I thought that was a dead issue.